Hello, and welcome to the Fuel Run Recover podcast, helping everyday runners fuel better, run smarter, and recover faster so you can reach your full performance potential. I'm your host, Stephanie Natchek, dietitian, fitness coach, and a fellow runner too. As the owner of Stephanie Natchek Performance Nutrition, I've spent the last 10 years helping runners learn to fuel their bodies, level up their running performance, and establish healthier relationships with food and exercise. If you're ready to reconnect with your love of running, then let's get started on today's episode. All right. So before we get started with today's episode, I wanted to invite you to check out a few great free resources that I created just for runners. To get them, all you have to do is click on the link in the show notes or visit www.stephanienatchek.com. If you visit my website, there's a little pop-up box that comes up and it'll prompt you to enter your email address, and these guides will be sent right to your inbox. The first guide is my fueling guide for runners. So in this resource, you'll find my top fueling tips for runners, as well as some specific meal ideas for both your pre- and post-run fuel. If you've been struggling to understand what to eat when to support your running and just figuring out like what those meal ideas, like what those meals look like, what kind of foods you should be including before versus after you run, what the difference is between pre- and post-run fueling, then this guide is exactly what you need to get you started on the right path. The other guide that I created is my strength training guide for runners. So this guide includes both a PDF resource, has some tips, guidelines, and links to my YouTube series where I actually walk you through all of the exercises in the program. This is a great beginner strength training guide for runners who want an effective but efficient full body workout that helps support the key muscles and movements you need to run stronger and injury-free. So once again, both of these guides are available together. I have them put together as a little bundle for you. You can just click on the link in the show notes or go over to www.stephanienatchek.com, enter your email address just the one time, and both of these free guides will get sent to your inbox right away. I hope you enjoy these resources and find them helpful in supporting you and your running. And now let's get into today's episode. Welcome to today's episode, where we are here to talk all about intra-run fuel. And this is a topic that I think is really, really important for anybody who is, maybe tackling longer distance running for the first time this year, or whenever you happen to be listening to this episode of the podcast, to really understand, you know, what is the deal with all those gels and chews and sports drinks and stuff like that. It's a question that a lot of runners have, people who maybe do have some experience with longer distances, but just haven't really practiced or tried any kind of intra-run fueling, or of course for people who are new to the sport and they see runners using things like gels and sipping on Gatorade and stuff like that, and they're just like, what gives? Like, what is the point of all of this, right? So that is what we're here to talk about today. So thank you so much for joining me. So the first question that we're going to cover with today's topic, all about intra-run fueling, is what is considered intra-run fuel? What is the definition of that? And really, the definition of intra-run fuel is just the calories that you take in during a workout, during a training session, during a run. So that would include, of course, anything like your gels or chews or bars, sports drinks, and any, you know, whole food options that you might include as well. Some people will choose to have dried fruit or maybe like pretzels or granola bars or candy or, you know, potatoes, bread, crackers. You know, the sky's the limit. There's so many different things that you can choose. And of course, we're going to talk about that as the episode goes on. So intra-run fuel is sort of, part of that whole spectrum of like your pre-run fuel, what you eat before you train. Then we have your intra-run fuel, what you consume during your training. Then we have your post-run or post-workout meal or nutrition, and that's what we get afterwards. There's this whole kind of spectrum here. And so the purpose of your intra-run fuel is to give your body a quick source of energy. So the purpose, the reason why we take in intra-run fuel, is to give our muscles and to give our brains, right? Our brain is a huge user of energy even when we're running, but it's to give our bodies those extra calories, that quick energy boost that we need to continue to perform for long periods of time. And it's the length of time that we're training that is really kind of the key to when we need inter-run fuel. Because if we're out just doing very short workouts, then our pre-workout meal or our overall nutrition and carbohydrate intake is going to be enough to get us through that workout. But the longer we're training, now this is where we start to get into, you know, people who are running longer distances, doing longer events, that kind of thing, we start to need to incorporate intra-run fuel into our training plan. And so that brings up the next question that I want to answer today of, do you need intra-run fuel? Because this is something that I see coming up all the time in the running community, online conversations, Facebook groups, stuff like that, where, you know, somebody will ask, what should I take in for fuel when I'm running XYZ distance? And you're going to get 100 different answers, which is one of the reasons why I don't recommend crowdsourcing your answers to your running questions from a Facebook group. I do recommend working with a professional, working with an expert to get answers that are personalized to you. But, you know, people ask that question and you'll have everything from, I take a gel every 30 minutes, or I take a gel every hour. I eat this, or I use that. I drink this, I drink that. Or then, of course, you're going to have plenty of comments that say, well, I regularly run 5, 10, 15, 20 miles, and I don't take in anything. I don't need anything. You don't need anything. You don't need intra-run fuel. If you just practice, or if you just get fat adapted, or if you just try hard enough, you don't need to take in anything during your run. Nothing but water or nothing but electrolytes. That's sort of the mentality. And so the question around, do you need it from the nutrition, performance nutrition perspective, it depends on the length of your workout. What did you do for your pre-run fueling? And what's your overall nutrition and carb intake? And of course, your goals. So if you're going out for a short, easy workout, then you probably don't need to bring any fuel along with you for during that workout. What you ate before, what you ate after will be plenty for to fuel you up before you go, and of course for your recovery after the fact. And if you're following a, you know, well-balanced, well-planned runner's diet that does have adequate carbohydrate, you're going to have some muscle glycogen on board to be able to get you through that short, easy workout. Typically for a run longer than 60 minutes is where I would definitely recommend incorporating some fuel. And I would really, really encourage runners to be working on their intra-run fueling plan when they're running for longer than 90 minutes. And this is because if you're doing, you know, training runs that are 90 minutes or longer, chances are you're training for an event, half marathon, full marathon, ultra marathon, where you absolutely do want to be having some intra-run fuel as part of your strategy. And the other thing, though, is that I don't want you to necessarily just limit your intra-run fuel to only those workouts that are longer than 90 minutes. It's great. It's a good idea. It's a good practice to get into as you're starting to incorporate this for the first time, to practice the fueling, bringing along maybe some gels, maybe some Gatorade, maybe, you know, whatever, on those shorter runs for practice, not only for practice of actually like eating and drinking as you run, which is a skill we have to develop, but also to train your digestive system to tolerate and to digest calories and take in that fuel during. One of the big reasons that a lot of people don't properly fuel their workouts, that's of course in the pre-workout space and also the intra-workout space, one of the big reasons that people don't do this well is because they get gut problems. They get, you know, stomach ache, nausea, diarrhea, cramps, bloating, gas, you name it, when they take anything in as they run. And that's, you know, really a huge issue if you're trying to run a half marathon or run a marathon or run an ultra marathon, if you have a hard time taking in food or fluid as you're running. So to start incorporating this into your shorter runs, yes, even runs that are only 30 or 45 minutes, just for the practice, just to get your digestive system used to it, is a fabulous, fabulous strategy. Because if you think about it, if you're, you know, going to start, maybe you're running a race this year, and you're 12 weeks or 16 weeks out from that race, you only have a limited number of runs that are longer than 90 minutes, right? There's not that many in that training plan. And if you only practice your fueling for those really long runs, only when you need it the most, you don't get that many opportunities to practice. And you may find that you get down to kind of crunch time for race day and you feel very unprepared with your inter-run fueling strategy. Maybe you're still having gut issues. Maybe you still don't know which brand or which flavor of gel you like best. Or maybe you're not even sure if you like gels. You didn't have an opportunity to try other things and, you know, you're still not confident. Whereas if you went from practicing with your inter-run fuel once a week for maybe just 8 or 10 weeks to practicing 4 times a week on your long run and also a couple of your shorter training runs, well, now all of a sudden you're really starting to have way more opportunities to figure it all out and to really solidify what you're going to do on race day. So when do you need inter-run fuel? Really, I would strongly encourage you to be using inter-run fuel for anything you do that's longer than 90 minutes. Typically, if you're running for longer than 60 minutes, it will only improve, only boost your performance to have some fuel as part of that run. But it's not wrong, it's not bad, and I actually really encourage runners to practice using their fuel even on those short little training runs just to get used to it, just to figure out what your strategy is. You may not do that forever, but at the very least, when you're just getting into this for the first time, it's a great practice. So then the next question is, what should you include in your intra-run fueling plan? You need 3 things as part of your intra-run fueling plan. You need fuel, you need electrolytes, and you need fluids. And no matter what options you go with, no matter what combination or what types of products or brands or anything like that you choose, always remember to be ticking off those 3 boxes, your fuel, your electrolytes, and your fluids. So for fuel, we're talking about carbohydrates. Now, if you're running anything short, like a marathon or shorter, so once we get into ultra running, that's a bit of a different story that we're not going to cover in this episode. But if you're running marathon, half marathon, something like that, then we just need carbohydrates as our intra-run fuel. Carbohydrates, we want for that quick energy. We want that to be broken down as fast as possible. And so we're going to be choosing simple, rapidly digestible carbohydrate sources. And we want to be aiming for 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour. For the purpose of today's episode, we're really going to zero in and focus on the fueling part of our intra-run fueling plan. So we need, as I mentioned, 3 things. We need fuel, we need fluids, and we need electrolytes as part of our overall intra-run fueling strategy. We're going to talk about hydration, the fluids, and the electrolytes in an upcoming episode. And for today, I wanted to really do a deeper dive on the specifics around the fuel part of this conversation, which of course is going to be our carbohydrates, our intra-run carbohydrates. So how much carbohydrate do we need? Typically, we're going to be looking at getting 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour of running. So what's interesting about these carbohydrate recommendations is, unlike some of the other recommendations we see in nutrition, this is not based on our body size. So this is not a recommendation per kilogram of our body weight or anything like that. This is per hour of running. Because what the research has shown is that the amount of carbohydrate we need during an event, our intra-run fuel, is actually not based on body size. It's actually based on the time that we're going to spend running. Now, as I mentioned, 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour is sort of our baseline recommendation, 30 grams per hour really being the bare minimum. The amount that we'd want to target for like shorter distances, for example, maybe if we're running a half marathon or something like that, we might get away and do pretty well with 30 grams an hour. But what the research has shown is that if we can increase the fuel we take in, if we can go from 30 to 45, or from 45 to 60, or 60, maybe even up to 90 grams of carbohydrates per hour, we see that translate into better performance. What's very interesting, though, is that the maximum amount of carbohydrate that we can absorb in the GI tract from a single source. So what I mean by that is the amount of carbohydrate that we can digest and absorb from like one type of sugar seems to be around 60 grams per hour. So our maximum absorption is about 60 grams per hour from a single source. And this isn't the amount of carbohydrate that we can use, say like in our muscle cells or something like that. It really seems to be that GI tract absorption that's the limiting factor. Now we talk a lot, you'll hear me talk a lot all the time about training our gut training. And so this is part of what allows us to expand and increase the amount of intrarun fuel that we can take in. But the other thing that we want to do to allow ourselves to go beyond 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour is going to be to really utilize mixed carbohydrate sources. So just to back up a little bit, when I'm working with runners and talking to runners and, you know, looking at what people are taking and how they're fueling, I would say on average, people who are fueling, you know, making an attempt to do some intrarun fueling, maybe without a lot of practice or without a lot of knowledge in the area, see a lot of people that are able to get in like right around that 30 grams of carbs per hour. Maybe it's like a bottle of Gatorade during a long run. Maybe it's like one gel an hour or something in that ballpark. So a lot of people I see are kind of hitting that minimum target or close to it. And probably a lot of these people would see a benefit from essentially doubling their fuel intake. But of course, we don't just want to do that overnight. We want to do that slowly. And this is where that gut training comes into play. Now, if you're going to be running for longer than 2.5 hours, this is where we see benefit of aiming for even higher than that 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour, closer to 90 grams of carbs per hour. But what's really important here is that we're using those mixed carbohydrate sources. We're using products or mixing together different fuel sources that have different types of sugars in them so we can optimize that digestion and get those quick sugars into our muscle cells where they belong. We don't want those undigested sugars sitting in the GI tract in the gut for any longer than they need to, because A, it's going to slow down how quickly we're getting that energy, and B, it's going to potentially cause GI issues, gut symptoms, whether that's nausea, cramps, diarrhea, acid reflux, even some runners can struggle with. These are all things that can really, of course, inhibit our ability to run faster, but also our ability to continue to take in fuel at the pace that we want to. Now, if you're going to be running for less than 2 hours, there probably isn't as much of a benefit as going that high with our carbohydrate sources. So you may not need to be aiming for that 90 grams per hour if you are going to be running for less than 2 hours. So when we're looking at different sport products, of course, there are an endless number of different brands and modalities, whether that's gels or sports drinks or powders or chews or you name it, bars, etc. There are so many different things out there that we can choose from. You know, the sky's really the limit on our different options. And the beautiful thing is that there is no one size fits all, right? There is no one perfect product or brand or even, you know, type of carbohydrate that is going to be best for everyone and that everyone's going to tolerate well. But what we do know is that there are certain types of carbohydrates, certain specific types of sugars that are broken down more quickly than others. And so these faster digesting carbohydrates are the ones that we want to look for in our sport products and probably utilize those more often and try to train our gut to tolerate more of those in our intrarun fuel. So those are going to include things like sucrose, which is your basic table sugar, glucose or dextrose, maltose, something called a high molecular weight glucose polymer, amylopectin, maltodextrin, and interestingly, lactose. Now, lactose, of course, is something that a lot of people are sensitive to. You probably are familiar with lactose intolerance. And so while it is a rapidly digesting sugar, not everyone has adequate amounts of the enzyme needed to break down that lactose. So that might be something that not everyone tolerates very well. But those are our fast carbohydrate sources. These are the ones that you're going to want to look for in your sports products and probably rely on more often. Then, of course, we have our family of slower digesting carbohydrates. Now, these are ones that some runners may choose because they actually they find that they do better from a gut sensitivity perspective if they have something that digests a little bit more slowly. This probably is trainable. So this is probably something that with a little bit of consistent gut training, we can get better with. But these are going to include things like fructose, galactose, trehalose, isomaltose, and amylose. These are some of the carbohydrates that we may not want to choose in our sport products. That being said, if you're listening to this episode and you take a look at the fuel that you've been using forever and you love it and you have no digestive issues with it and you are easily hitting your 60 grams of carbs per hour, 90 grams of carbs per hour while using a product that includes those slower digesting carbohydrates, I don't want you to feel like that's bad or wrong or that you need to change what you're doing. But if you're kind of looking at this with fresh eyes and you want to try something different or you're new to the whole kind of realm of intra-run fueling, then those are the things that I would, maybe not look for versus look for in a product. Now, I mentioned that, you know, the 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrates per hour is kind of our baseline recommendation. But for those longer events, we could go a little bit higher and we could aim for 90. There has been research, of course, looking even higher than this. You know, what happens if we go to 120 grams of carbohydrates per hour? You know, what's kind of that upper threshold? Like how much fuel can we, should we take in before we stop seeing a translation into better performance? Like where is that peak benefit? And what's interesting is that there was one study that showed peak performance around 78 grams of carbohydrates per hour. But what's interesting is that these participants didn't undergo gut training. So they didn't undergo actually like working on increasing their tolerance and their training to take in fuel during their workouts. So with gut training, that peak might actually be a little bit higher. Another study that looked at higher carbohydrate intakes in runners saw that, you know, some people logistically, this is another point that we'll talk about in a minute, were able to get in that amount of carbohydrate. And what's interesting is they actually saw some improvements in their recovery. And so while there may be sort of this peak in terms of performance benefits, if we're able to go higher, that actually translates into benefits for our workout recovery. Now, for the most part, if we're in a lower training volume, the meal that we have after we train, our post-workout meal, is probably going to be sufficient in order to make sure that we're getting everything we need to recover as quickly as possible. But in an instance where we're perhaps doing a very high volume of training, maybe we're doing back-to-back long workout days, maybe we're doing a multi-day event, you know, some of these ultra distance events where we're doing multiple very heavy, long events or training days, then this may be something to consider is actually really taking in significantly more carbohydrate, really trying to fuel more during the run, during our training, so that we can be recovering that much faster, getting ready for that next workout. And this begs the question, you know, what is the best way to meet your needs? I've sort of alluded to this already as we've been talking through today's episode. You know, should I buy gels? Should I buy energy chews? Should I use whole food sources? Should I do liquids? Should I buy a powder? Should I buy, those beans? Should I just use candy? What should I do in order to meet my needs? And this is both a challenging but also a beautiful thing. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. There is no one best system or strategy for intra-run fuel that is perfect for all of us. And this is why there are so many options, is because everyone's going to need something a little bit different. Everyone's going to prefer and tolerate something a little bit different. I have a lot of runners who get hungry when they're running. You know, a lot of my distance runners, especially people who are in the ultra running space, they know that they're going to get hungry on a run if they're just relying on things like liquids and gels. So this is where maybe they're using granola bars, or they're taking along pretzels, or maybe even making themselves some like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to snack on, crackers, you know, all kinds of different things. They're using these whole food sources in order to fuel their runs. But if you're maybe trying to just race your best half marathon, you may find that trying to like, you know, cram your pockets with a sandwich doesn't quite make sense. It's too hard to eat and chew and swallow as you're running, especially when you're giving that 100% effort. You'd rather just do a liquid option, like maybe you're just drinking a sports drink that has your carbs, that has your electrolytes, that has your fluids, so you can take it all in one. And race to race, it might change, and that's okay. The important thing is trying enough different options that you figure out what works best for you. So that's, you know, the purpose of IntraRun Fuel, a little bit more about what IntraRun Fuel is, when to use it, what you need, and why there are so many options on the market and different things to choose from. I want to spend a little bit of time in this episode today talking a bit more about the pushback against IntraRun Fuel, and just kind of talk about some of the common, I'll call it maybe misconceptions, or some of the common reasons why people maybe don't fuel during their run or don't think they should be. And it really can be confusing for a lot of runners when they're getting kind of mixed messages out there in the nutrition space. So a lot of the products that you see out there are made from simple sugars, right? Unless you're making yourself, you know, a peanut butter sandwich on whole grain bread, or eating whole wheat crackers, or something like that, the IntraRun Fuel that you're taking in is going to be simple, or what we call processed white sugars. One of my favorite things to share is my homemade sports drink recipe. And, you know, sometimes people are surprised that in this homemade sports drink recipe, it's just plain old white table sugar is what goes into it. It's like, well, aren't we not supposed to have white sugar? Isn't that processed? Isn't that bad for us? You know, this quick breakdown of simple sugars. And this is where it's such an important distinction to make between nutrition for kind of the, I'll call it the general public, the non-running public, those non-running folks out there, non-athletes, and people like yourself who are distance runners, who are training for long periods of time. You're going out there 90 minutes, 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 hours, like whatever it might be that you're going to be training for. You need that quick energy. I mentioned at the top of this episode that the purpose of IntraRun Fuel is to give your muscles and your brain that quick energy, right? We want those simple sugars because those simple sugars break down rapidly and are giving us the fuel that we need when we need it. If we are consuming something like, you know, a mixed meal, maybe like pasta or sweet potatoes, or something like that, that's, you know, starchy and takes longer to digest, we're going to eat that meal. And by the time it's broken down and we've gotten the energy from that food, we're done our run. The run is over. So that's why those foods tend to work best as like a pre-run fuel. We don't want to be taking that an hour into a 90-minute run. Whereas those simple sugars, sipping on a sports drink or taking a gel or using something like that, eating some candy as you're running, those simple sugars are broken down very quickly. And that's what gives us that quick source of energy. So yes, simple sugars are what all this IntraRun Fuel is made of, but that doesn't make it bad for us. That's literally the point of why we use these products. Now, I wouldn't recommend sitting around and taking a bunch of gels just willy-nilly throughout the day. Of course not, right? We do want to be mindful of our simple sugar consumption, especially outside of our training runs. We want most of the foods we choose in a day to be nutritious, to be high in fiber, to give us extra vitamins and minerals. But just in this IntraRun space, the quicker those sugars are broken down, the better for our performance. So the other thing that we see a lot is, you know, kind of in the low carb, sort of with a low carb slant of removing or eliminating carbohydrates in our diet and doing something called getting fat adapted. Does getting fat adapted then remove or reduce or eliminate our need for IntraRun Fuel? And what's really interesting is that the carbohydrate quantity of our diet, how much carb we eat, does not dictate how we use fat as a fuel source when we run. It's the intensity of the exercise that determines what fuel we are going to use, whether that be fat or carbohydrate. Now, this is never all or nothing. We are never burning 100% fat or 100% carb. It's not this on-off switch. You can think about it as more of a spectrum. At lower intensity exercise or at rest, We're using more fat as a fuel source. And as we develop our aerobic base, which is essentially doing more of that easy running, developing that aerobic base, slowing down on our easy days, we actually teach our bodies to use more fat as a fuel source when running. So we don't need to go on an extremely low carb diet in order to make this happen, which is really great. But we also have to understand that just doing a lot of easy running, developing our aerobic base, does not eliminate our need for carbohydrate for interrun fuel, especially if we're looking at tackling harder intensity workouts, harder efforts. So yes, people can and do run very slowly for incredibly long periods of time without supplementing a lot of carbohydrate. They absolutely do that. But if we're trying to up the intensity, run faster, then including intrarun fuel, including those carbohydrates, is only going to benefit our performance, only going to help us to run harder and to run faster. As well, if we are, you know, doing a lot of prolonged exercise without supplementing carbohydrate, we do risk a loss of muscle mass. We do risk losing muscle tissue because, like I said, we can never completely eliminate our need for carbohydrate. So our body will get it from somewhere, and we actually will make it by breaking down our muscle tissue to supply the glucose that the brain needs to function. So when I mentioned before that we want most of our diet to be whole foods based, high in fiber, getting enough protein, vitamins, minerals, all of that beautiful stuff, then we can have a diet that really is centered around optimizing things like our body composition and, you know, helping us be at the healthiest weight for us and that sort of thing, that then allows us to still include intrarun fuel in our plan without needing to worry about, you know, what those added sugars might be doing to us. Now, the final thing that I want to talk about today is the fact that, you know, a lot of the reason or the complaints or kind of the issues that runners have with intrarun fuel, especially when we start to talk about hitting these ideal targets for intrarun fuel, like when we start to actually calculate out and plan out getting in 60 or more grams of carbs per hour, plus all the fluid somebody needs to be taking in, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a pack horse. Where am I going to put all this stuff? How am I going to carry all of this stuff? This is so inconvenient. I would rather just run with nothing and just, you know, be my lightweight, easy breezy self. And I completely understand carrying stuff on a run can feel very inconvenient, especially when you're not used to it. And so to make it easier, you know, the first big thing is to, you know, maybe invest in the right gear that is going to make it more comfortable for you. That might be, you know, a bottle that has like a wrist or like a hand strap on it, so you don't have to actually grip and hold the bottle. I did that for many years. I would run with a water bottle and I would notice that my hand would start to ache. I would start to get like sore, you know, from running and gripping that bottle. So a handheld option that has like a little hand strap thing on it, so you're not having to actually grip and run with the bottle like that. That can be a great option, especially for short runs. Those bottles tend to be a little bit on the small side, so they're probably not going to get you through like an entire race without refilling it. But at the very least, you've got something that you can sip on as you go, which is going to be perfect if you're using a liquid option like a sports drink. Or maybe, you know, if you do want to bring a little bit more fluid, have some pockets and stuff like that, a hydration vest, hydration pack, or hydration belt. So these, of course, have, you know, either little bottles or a bladder that goes in the backpack with like a little straw thing that comes around the front that you can sip on. These options also usually have a few pockets, which is really nice. I mean, you can put everything in there from like your gels or your chews or your little packets of electrolyte mix if that's what you're using. You can throw your car keys in there. You can, you know, whatever else you might need, which is really convenient to just kind of give you some extra options for carrying some extra things with you. So you might want to invest in something like that. And again, it's all about practice and just getting used to it. The same way, you know, you have to practice eating and drinking on a run and actually like going through the process of that. The same way you had to practice training your gut to be able to tolerate pre-run fuel. This is something that just gets easier and gets more convenient the more that you do it. The last thing you can do if you're listening to this and you're like, Steph, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it. On race day, I just rely on what the aid stations have. I don't bring anything with me. I take the gels, the Gatorade, the water, just, you know, sips here and there as I go. I am not running with anything in my hands. I am not running with a backpack. That's fine. What you actually can do is plan out a short loop. So run around a central location. So maybe it's your house. Maybe if you're driving somewhere, you're going to park your vehicle and set up a little aid station for yourself. So have extra water. Maybe it's a bottle that you just swap out. That's where you're going to keep your fuel. That's where you're going to keep your gels, your chews, whatever it is, your foods that you're going to be taking with you. And then you can just run around that loop however many times you need to, but you're coming back to that central location where you set up your little aid station that you can then fuel up as you go. Still have the practice of getting in your intra-run fuel so you're not waiting until race day to do this for the first time, but you don't have to bring, you know, all the extra weight and all the extra stuff along with you. So there are lots of ways that we can make, the intra-run fueling a little bit more convenient, but it does at the end of the day come down to practice. Once you see the benefit of incorporating that intra-run fuel and hydration into your plan, hopefully it's going to make enough of a difference in your running that you can't imagine life without it, and it's totally worth maybe a little bit of the inconvenience of running with a few extra pounds. All right, so that is it for today's episode, all about intra-run fuel. I hope that it answered your questions. I hope that you found it helpful. And of course, I want to thank you so much for coming and hanging out with me today, spending some time listening to this episode. We have a new episode of the Fuel Run Recover podcast coming out each and every week. So I would love it if you subscribe to the show and, of course, share your favorite episode with your running friends. If you are looking for some help with your intra-run fueling strategy, maybe it's your pre-run fueling plan or your recovery nutrition that needs help, maybe you are looking for ways to optimize your body composition or develop a healthier relationship with food and exercise this year, then I would love to be the one who helps you, either with my Fuel for Runners online course, where we cover everything you need to know about fueling and nutrition as a runner. Learn at your own pace with the online modules. And of course, I am here to help support you when you get stuck and have questions. Or you can join my online signature program, the Fuel Train Recover Club. This program covers everything you need to know about not only nutrition as a runner, but also training. We have sample training plans. We have modules all about optimizing your recovery. And of course, you have the opportunity to get one-on-one coaching from me with our weekly office hours. So definitely check out the Fuel for Runners online course or the Fuel Train Recover Club, and let me help you meet your running goals this year. I would love to be the one to get you on the right track. All right, that is it for today's episode. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. Bye for now. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not to be used or relied upon for the diagnosis or treatment of any health condition. This information does not create a client-practitioner relationship and should not be used as a substitute for professional medical advice.